Zechariah 4:6 said, "It's not by might or by power, but it is by my spirit, saith the Lord." Acts 10:38 said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. What was it done? God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, and he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. You know, when you're anointed of the Holy Ghost, you're going to do good. Amen. How many believes that a lot of folks needs to do some good? In my ministry, I've had 56 years. I've been in the ministry over 56 years. And I've had four major visions. Of course, I have vision. I had a vision when I came here. But I'm talking about visions that were just spelled out. And just the other day, a few weeks ago, God began to open one of those up. And I'm telling you, God, how many knows that God can hide little things from you till the right time? Just give you enough of it to make you hungry and make you search. Search the scriptures, for in them, Jesus said, you have eternal life. These are they that testify of me. So we have to search. Search the scriptures. Now tonight, our theme, I'll give you my theme. Somebody asked, are we going to have a theme? Yes, we got a theme. And I think, you know, there's a lot of things that's being preached that's not necessary. And there's a lot of things that's very necessary that needs to be preached. And there's some that's preaching things that is very necessary. But there's some that's just, you know, just a little dabble, do you? It's the Brill Cream, we used to call it, the Brill Cream religion. Just a little dabble, do you? How many remembers when the men used Brill Cream? And just, the advertisement was, a little dabble, do you? And that's not that way in this here. We need the whole load, church. We need the whole thing. We need, somebody said, do I have to have the Holy Ghost? So you don't have to have it, but you need it. Somebody said, how much do I need? You need it to go to the grocery store now. You need the Holy Ghost every day. You need it in every step of your life. You need the Holy Ghost. We need to stay filled with the Holy Ghost. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our theme of this camp meeting is godliness with contentment is great gain. Let's all say that. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, I know a whole lot of folks that is not content enough to be godly, and I know a whole lot of them that can't be godly because they don't have no contentment. How many notice people? They just ain't content with anything. I just got to be doing this, got to be doing that, got to be doing something. Be content and get down and study and pray and seek God. Get full of the power of God and it'll make you content. People just running to and fro. The Bible teaches about this. And they have no contentment in their life whatsoever. But I want you to notice it's godliness with contentment. These two things together. Let's read that. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Now, we're not here. If you had a chance to skip and hop, jump and shout, you had it a while ago. It was time for it, but now it's time for the Word of God. Heaven and earth shall pass away, be said, but my Word shall not pass away. Now, let's turn our Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning with verse 1 and reading through verse 6. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and the doctrine be not blasphemed, and that ye have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. Now Paul said this got to be taught and exhort. And listen what verse 3, 4, 5, and 6 says it. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. Huh? The doctrine which is according to what? Godliness. I don't hear godliness being preached on anymore. Hardly ever. I don't hear contentment. I don't believe I've ever really heard a good message on contentment. How many people, are you really content? In other words, are you content with your pastor? Is your pastor content with you? Are you content with your church? Are you content with your community? Are you content with your home? Are you content with your wife? Are you content with your husband? There's a whole lot of things we need to be content with, and we can get all that in one shot with godliness, with contentment. What is great gain? Now, Paul said, don't think about those things that are gain as godliness. See, what people today think that gain is godliness. Heard one preacher say, when they drive by my house, I drive a Rolls Royce, and they know that I'm a godly man, or I wouldn't be driving a Rolls Royce. I'll tell you what, that has nothing to do with a Rolls Royce. There's a lot of Rolls Royce drivers that's going to be in hell just like anybody else. Huh? Doesn't make any difference what kind of car you drive. Content? Some of you know I've drove an old Renault around all over this country here. Preach here, preach there, preach. And I was just as contented then as I am now. Contented. We've got to get back to being contented. Contented. Are we content? And every time that we see something that we're discontented about, we need to try to do something about that with whoever that it involved until we get back to contentment. That's what, and I believe Sister Turner taught on that fellowship. You know, fellowship means two people or more that's in unity of the Spirit and having fellowship with God first, and then you can have fellowship with each other. I'll tell you, any time that something bothers me and I'm in content about it, I'm going to do something about it. I wouldn't live the life like a lot of people. No way would I live an uncontented life like some people live. They're not. Every time you see them, they've got a new discontentment. I didn't like that. I don't like this. I didn't like them. Now, what's that got to do with godliness? Let's define godliness just a little bit in Psalms 1:1. Blessed is the man, verse 3. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. People are walking in ungodly counsel. Oh, rock music's all right in the church. I'll tell you, there's no contentment in it. It's got everybody, but everywhere you go anymore, you've got some kind of music that's not God, and everybody's on edge. How many knows that? How many just notice everybody's on edge? And a whole lot of it has to do with things that ought to be content and that are not content in our life. Content. Are you contented? Maybe you're not contented with me. Well, we'll fix that after service. Huh? Because I love you. And the reason I love you is because I'll tell you the truth. And John, he says, you know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. How many wants to be free? A free person is content. There's nobody that I know of. I know a few people that's in jail, and they're not content in there. Two or three of them right now, I worked with them for 2 or 3 years trying to get them to straighten up their life and all that. Now they're in the jailhouse and no telling, they're probably facing federal charges and they're not content in there. They're wanting out bad and they want me to help them out. Well, I can't help them out. I tried to help them when they was out. Now they want something. You know, people can live until it gets to the very worst and then they want something. Let's go this then. Now it says here, if any man, verse 3, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. Now he's going to define godliness, and let's go back there just a minute to Psalms 1 again. Verse 1 through 3. Blessed is the man, how many wants to be blessed, who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. See, if somebody comes to you and they're not content in their life, they're going to get you all upset. They're going to get you upset so you can be upset with them. See, now we got two that's discontent. And after a while, they choose up sides and say, who's on our side? I'll tell you, they are the discontented one. Us is us that's got filled with the Holy Ghost and are content with our experience with God. And Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, he's writing his book to them that of like precious faith.
Right. I'd like to surround myself with people that's content in things and not sit around with people that's a grouchy spirit all day long, but a contented spirit, and that there will rub off on you. And when you get them two kind of people, when they agree, it's going to come to pass. If two agree, it's because they agreed in the name of the Lord instead of just two people getting together and says, let's do it. So, blessed is a man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, stand in the way of the sinner, or setteth in the seat of the scornful. Said the scornful, they're discontented. How dare a Christian filled with the Holy Ghost to sit around and talk to somebody that's discontented all day long and let it rub off on them? Need that trip through Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Then you and your friends will be content around each other. Woo! Blessed is that man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He don't stand in the way of the sinner. He don't sit in the seat of the scornful. He's got it. It goes on to say that his leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Whatever he does will prosper. All you got to do is just walk with God and be content. How many know God's here? He's walking through this place tonight. I've seen all kinds of things happen here. I've seen people jump up and get healed and run around here. I've seen the time, you know, when God would say, just raise your hand, and raise your hand, and the biggest part of the people would fall under the power of God or take off shouting and running. That don't bring contentment. That brings a shot of joy for a while, but contentment means that you keep content and the joy. The kingdom of God will keep you content. What is it? Romans 14:17 said, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's always in the Holy Ghost, and people resist the Holy Ghost. Well, I don't know if I want to get it or not. I'm afraid of how I'll act if I get it. Well, you could ask me and Brother Allman how he act. They tell me he rolled all over under every pew when he got the Holy Ghost. Do some wild things when you get the Holy Ghost, but they're content. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I want to leave this thought as we move along with this, that contentment brings producing. The reason the church is not producing, they're not content. They run here, they run there. Just the other day, we talked to somebody. They'd been to four churches, and all four of them wasn't to suit them. Well, if they're so awful mighty, they ought to join up there and help get the thing content. There's places to work, church. Amen. We're not supposed to. God doesn't want to give us on a silver tray. It's not something. We need to get out there and work. A lot of people, you know, they think that all they're supposed to do is come into church just at church time and leave just as quick as it gets out and run here and run there and run someplace else. That is not contentment, and that is not being led to the Spirit. And as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Romans 8:6 plainly tells us that. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Oh, the Spirit. The Spirit. But to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and it is peace. And I'm telling you, the kingdom that's in you is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And if that don't bring contentment, church, I don't know what to tell you that will. Because it involves the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. It says this person here, back to 1 Timothy. It says, verse 4, speaking to these people that's not heeding to the doctrine according to godliness. And verse 4 says, he is proud. You know, know, pride goeth before a fall, and a haughty spirit before destruction. But he's proud, knowing nothing. Boy, that's rough. Paul said that, and I didn't say that. They don't know nothing. You know, the do-nothings and know-nothings, you know, they're set around to teach everybody else to know nothing and do nothing. They're good teachers. They can get you to sitting around, you know, not thinking about godliness and not thinking about the power of God, not thinking about your friend that's lost, not thinking about the church. We need to get our mind upon the church, the people in the church, and the building. You know, one of those visions that God gave me several years ago, told it to Brother Abrams, but I just got the full meaning of it a few weeks ago myself. And it involves a whole shipload of people, which represents the shipload is, the ship is Bible Way, and the people is people of all, and there's five, and it involves five ministries in the church according to Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 11, he said he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for the what? Edifying of the body of Christ to make you godliness and content. How about that? Make you godly and content. Now they're perverse, disputing of all men, corrupt minds, destitute of the truth. John said, you know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 14:6, Jesus said, he tells you about the truth. He said, I'm the way, and I'm the truth. No man cometh to the Father but by me. There ain't no way to get there but by him. You've got to go through him to get to the Father, to get to godliness. Verse 5, it says, and another thing, they're destitute of truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. Now, we could preach all night on that. And I have preached, I've preached my lungs out for years and years, and some folks just haven't got it. And the reason they haven't got it, they don't want it. You know what they want? They want to think that, listen to it, they want to think that perverse disputing of men, corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godly. They want to think that gain is godly. I'm prosperous. Well, I'd rather be prosperous the right way. I would that you prosper, the scripture said, and be in health as your soul prospers. And if your soul ain't prosperous, you ain't prosperous if you're driving a Rolls Royce. You ain't prosperous if you're living in a $1 million house. You're not prosperous. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 said that the whole spirit and soul and body be found blameless at the coming of the Lord. And people are missing the whole boat. Missing it all. Just to say, well, I'm prosperous. Look at me. I said, show me. Look here what I got. It's brand new. Well, show me the power of God. It's what we need. Perverse disputings. He said, from such withdraw thyself. Now verse 6 says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Now somebody said, but you don't know the situation. If you just knew my situation, then you'd know more about this. So let's turn our Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. And Paul gets down to business here about the situation. And he says here in verse 9, 4 verse 9. Let's go there. Paul said, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen of me. He also said in another scripture, follow me as I am follower of Christ. In other words, don't follow me if I ain't following Christ. Huh? Those things which you have learned and received and heard and seen of me, do. Boy, that's the thing people don't like, that word do. You know, I've got a habit here lately to take one word and preach an hour. Do. Boy, you preach on that. They've heard it, and they've heard it, and they've heard it. Matthew 7:24 said, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I liken him to the wise man that built his house upon a rock. When the rain descended and the flood came and beat upon that house, it stood because they heard and done. They heard and they done. It's established on the rock. It cannot be shaken. It's godly. It's content in the storm. Is your experience content in the storm? Or do you have to pray through in the storm? Contentment. Godliness with contentment is what? Great gain. It covers the whole thing. You got to be godly to have contentment, and you got to be content to be godly. It ties in. No way out of it. When you hear somebody groaning and moaning and carrying on, grumbling, tell them you need to be content. Well, somebody said, what about that? Now, let's go a little further here. Let's go back to 4, here to Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. Those things in which you have learned and received and heard and seen of me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, and that now, at the last, your care of me has flourished. They neglected Paul's need. Did you know the church is neglecting the needs of the church, the ministry? Somebody said, well, I'm not going to give that my money to that preacher. Well, you're giving it to the Lord. He just gets to put it in the storehouse like it's supposed to be. And the preachers, and Paul said, now, I'm so glad now that your care of me has flourished again. They got, I guess they got not content with him and quit paying their tithe. Ain't that the way of it is? I could tell a discontented person by looking at the church records, and we look at church records all the time, Bible Way records and all this. The first one that's discontented is the first thing they do is quit paying their tithes. We'll starve him out. Come on, laugh, but it's true. Yeah, we'll do. We'll get rid of him. We'll starve him out. Well, Paul said that it's flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Listen now, not that I speak in respect of want. He said, no, I don't speak in respect of want. For I have learned, that word learn. Matthew chapter 11, 28. If you want to turn there. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn of me. You're yoked up with him, you're going to learn something. Because if you can't carry your own, he'll drag you to. When they used to have mule teams going across the country, and once in a while they'd have an old bulky mule that wouldn't pull, they'd put him right up next to the wagon, and the other 4 or 5 mules would pull him if he didn't yet. Finally, he'd get tired of being ragged around and get up and start pulling. Rough way to get it, ain't it? But you're going to have to get it one way or the other if you have to be drugged down. Not that I speak of respect of want, but I have learned. Now listen what he learned. In whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. He said, I had to learn that. You know how he learned it? With stripes upon his back. You know how he learned it? Being put in jail, stocks and bonds, and looking over Silas and say, let's make this a contented place. That's not exactly the words they used, but that's what it was. So Paul and Silas, they begin to pray, and pretty soon, I guess, they begin to shout, and pretty soon the stocks fell off, and the bonds fell off, and the jailer started to kill himself. And Paul said, do yourself no harm. We're still here. We're contented. So they had a contented jailer now, and uptown they become discontented and said, throw them men out of jail. And Paul said, no, we're going to live out right here until you come and let us out the way you put us in. We'll just make this a contentment jail. Now listen to what Paul said. Now I speak not of respect of want, but I have learned whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. You know, when the devil comes at you like a lion, just take the sword of contentment and pierce it. That's part of the sword. Sword. Now, Paul said, listen to what he said. He said in verse 12, I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. How many knows how to be abased? It's kind of hard when you have to be abased, ain't it? When somebody gets on your case, and you're abased, abased. You know, the first thing we get when we're abased, the first thing we do is get mad. And then we have to pray through and get contented, or we don't feel right. You know, a lot of folks is in the churches sitting around nursing their chin, looking the thing over. No, contentment is what it is. Where all things I am instructed, Paul said. He said, I learned how to be abased. I've learned how to abound. I learned how to be abased, how to abound. And I've learned how to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer. And then he said in verse 13, I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Boy, that man, he got hold of it. He said, we ought to be content. Now, contentment brings production. And I'm going to bring into a story here, and it's about a cow. And some of you may remember the advertisement. I'm probably the oldest person here, but I remember some advertisements about a cow called Elsie the Contented Cow. How many of you remember that? How many remembers Elsie the Contented Cow? Huh? Now, this cow was trying to get cows to produce more milk and be more productive and everything. And so they got a hold of this cow. It was a Jersey cow. And they called her Elsie. And they built a great big place for her to stay where she'd be comfortable, could move around, you know. They had all the feed that she could eat all the time. They took her away from the crowd of those rogues out there in the field that was butting each other around, you know. I got a book on the rogues. How many knows there's rogues in the church? Gotta get rid of the rogues. A roguish spirit won't do. But anyhow, there Elsie was. They had this cow, and she was put in this place, and they began to get all kinds of things that they thought would make her give more milk. Now, this is a true story. Back in the 40s, that was Elsie, the Contented Cow, was on every boarding sign, boarding milk cup. So they had her there trying to make her content, because they had some kind of an idea that if there was content, that they'd produce more. Well, so they give her this place to stay. They give her plenty of food. And then they decided they'd get some good music, soft, classic music, and something that's soothing, you know, and see if that would help. Right away, Elsie took up with that. Would you believe that, that a cow is smarter than humans? The cow's smarter than the house, than the church. She took right up with that. She eat all she wanted to, you know. Finally they even made her a water bed and everything, just everything that would make her content that they thought about. And she became the biggest productive cow that was ever known. You remember that, Brother Mark? He remembers that. You remember Sister Mark? Yeah. How many remembers that? Well, there's a few of you old enough to remember that. Some of these young folks needs to get with some of these old folks and learn some knowledge. And some wisdom. So, are we supposed to produce? Well, you take the 15th chapter of the book of St. John. Jesus told us that. What are we producing? We produce fruit. That cow was producing milk. And that's what they wanted to produce. But what God wants us to produce is fruit. He said in the 15th chapter of St. John that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. Well, how are you going to bear much fruit? You got to get the old limbs off. They come in, they prune the old limb, and it said the old dry limbs, men gather them together and burn them, but they purge the other vine, and it brings forth more fruit. How many sees why I chose this? Godlessness with contentment is great gain. It's grain in production. I'll guarantee you if they'd put rock music in there with Elsie, she'd have kicked the balls down. She'd have went crazy. And that's what's the matter with a whole lot of our folks today. They're crazy. Crazy as a loon. Well, you can tell them I said that. They're not in their right mind. Philippians 2 and 5 said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Get the mind of Christ, and you'll want something soothing, and it'll put you to work, and you'll begin to win souls, and you'll begin to produce fruit. And when you ask the Lord what he wants, he'll say more. That's what I've heard the Lord say more to me more than anything else. What do you want me to do, Lord? More. He's famous to me for saying those words to me. I want more. More fruit, more souls won, more people converted, all kinds of things to do, and people sitting around doing nothing. I'll tell you what, you'll not be contented doing nothing. And you'll not be contented down at the courthouse square like we used to have here, what we called them, the spit and whittle gang. And they sitting there chewing tobacco and spitting tobacco and whittling, you know, pitching horseshoes. And they wasn't getting anything done for God. Spend their Saturday doing that. You know, people are going to give account for it out of time. Some folks has got so much load they can't handle. Others could lift that load. I want to close right here. Paul has taught us here. Different ones have taught us here. Just this thing is this Elsa the cow. They've done a whole lot of other things that they done, and that cow responded to everything that was soothing and helpful to her. And she produced more milk. Next month, more percentage. Next year, more percentage. This will make your church grow. Somebody said, I want to get in a church where they turn somersaults, jump up, down, kick, and roll. I do too, but I want it to be real. I want it to be real. You know, I don't want it to be something when, you know, when all the kicking, the camp meetings, kicking and rolling and jumping and kicking, you know, shouting and having the time. And after the camp meeting, well, we had a good camp meeting and that's all there are to it. No, it should live in you. Every church service should live in you because it's life. In Him we live, and we move, and we have our being. In Him, it's life. He is our way. He is our truth. He is our life. No way to get to Father's house except by Him. And He is the godliness of this. God, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And that comes into, this can come into our life. Matthew 6:33 said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things that you've been asking will be done unto you. They were saying this, what are we going to eat? What are we going to wear? What are we going to drink? What are we going to do? He said, seek first the kingdom of God, Matthew 6:33, and all these things that you're worried about will take place in your life, and you will be content. And you will be a godly creature. And when something goes wrong, get a hold of the Master quick. Don't call the ungodly. Don't call the discontented. Call the one that has the goods. Would you come, the musicians, the singers? I want you to know, church, our churches are in a place they've never been before. I've never seen anything like whole organizations, big organizations, going down because it's ungodly. Bringing in the ungodly thing, huh? Pastors won't protect their pulpit. They won't preach the truth. Because you have to have the truth to be free. They get the youth all stirred up, and then the youth want to take it somewhere else. They want to, you know, there's something about this thing. They want to take it everywhere. It gets in more churches than you can't hardly believe. Nearly all churches is getting tainted with it nearly. I just hope you will stand with me that it won't get in here. It's been for years they've tried to push their way through them doors and get a discontented spirit amongst our people through the camp meeting. But they've never made it yet. And by the help of God, they won't. I want you to pray tonight for someone else. You know, sometimes God does things for us in strange ways. Strange ways. Sometimes He has to let us suffer. How many knows if we're going to rule with Him, we have to suffer with Him? And Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, I believe it is, that speaks of the fellowship of His suffering. And Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8, He learned obedience by His suffering. Jesus. And you've got people that will tell you, if you're a Christian, you don't have to be suffering. Boy, I don't know where they read that in that Bible. It must be that NIV or something. Huh? It ain't my Bible. I got the right one. You know, I'm contented with that Bible right there. I don't want to change it. It works so good and so beautiful. It's worked since 16 and 11 when King James commissioned it in England. And people came to this country with the King James Bible in their hand and built colonies. Contented colonies. And if anybody rose up for war against them, they warred and got it over with and had contentment. We're in a time right now when people talk about things, but they don't do what they talk about. It's a sad situation. The nation's asleep. The churches are asleep. People are asleep. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. There's somebody here tonight this message was for. Are you content? Do you have godliness with contentment? If you have, you've got great gain. Great gain. You know, great gain, that's a whole lot of it, isn't it? Great gain.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art. Let's sing and worship him tonight. Stand with us if you will. Hallelujah. How great thou art. The altar's open tonight. Would you come? Let's come and seek the Lord. He's a great God, able to handle all of our situations, able to handle all of our problems, able to handle all of our gripes, and all of our heartaches, all of our complaints, and all of our discontentment. It sings, my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art. Come on, folks. Let's find us a place and pray. Word of God has gone forth in power and might. Word of God has spoken to your heart, and the Holy Ghost has revealed himself to you. I want you tonight to call on the name of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is moving in this meeting, and we want him to move forward. We want you to be in a spiritual condition where you can move forward with him. Where you can move forward in him and move forward with him. If you're back at your seat, let's just praise him there. Let's call upon him there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. Why don't you praise him tonight? Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, my Savior God, to thee. Let it ring from your soul. How great thou art. How great thou art. It sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. Hallelujah. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Well, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Well, there is power. wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. I'm glad there's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. I'm glad there's power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Oh, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. And when I pray through, what can you go do when I pray through? Well, I'll never forget that wonderful hour. I felt His power, and I prayed through. All heaven came down, and God's glory abounded. And the angel resounded when I prayed through. Well, I'll never forget that wonderful hour. I felt His power, and I prayed through. All heaven came down, and God's glory abounded. The angel resounded when I prayed through. And now I'm His and He is mine. Blessed assurance, so divine. I'm feasting on the living bread since I prayed through. And since that day that Jesus came, I have never been the same. I'm glad I stayed down on my knees till I prayed through. Well, I'll never forget that wonderful hour. I felt His power, and I prayed through. All heaven came down, and God's glory abounded. The angels resounded when I prayed through. Will I never forget that wonderful hour? I felt His power. Oh, and I prayed through. All heaven came down, and God's glory abounded. The angels resounded when I prayed through. Well, came to God one night in prayer with my heartache and my care. I prayed, "Dear Lord, here is my all I'm going through." And since that day that Jesus came, I have never been the same. I'm glad I stayed then on my knees till I prayed through. Well, I'll never forget that wonderful hour when I felt God's power sing and I prayed. Oh, I prayed through, heaven came down and God's glory abounded. The angels resounded and I prayed through. I'll never forget that wonderful hour when I felt God's power. I prayed through, heaven came down and God's glory abounded. The angels resounded when I prayed through. And now I'm His and He is mine. Blessed assurance, so divine. I'm feasting on the living bread since I prayed through. And since explain just how I felt. But praise God, I know it's real. I'm glad I stayed then on my knees till I prayed through. Well, I'll never forget that wonderful hour. I felt His power, and I prayed through all heaven came down and God's glory abounded.
The angels resounded
and I prayed through. Will I never forget that wonderful hour? I felt God's power. Oh, I prayed through. Oh, heaven came down. Oh, God's glory abounded. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, worship the Lord. Hallelujah, pray till you pray through. Pray till you pray through. Come on, pray till you pray through. Pray till you pray through.
When I pray through.
Hallelujah. Will I never forget that wonderful hour? I felt God's power and I prayed. All heaven came down and God's glory abounded. The angels resounded when I prayed. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, the answer's on the way. This I know. Jesus said it, I believe it, and it's so. Our Heavenly Father knows our need before we pray. And we can rest assured the answer's on the way. Oh, yes, the answer's on the way. This I know. Jesus said it, I believe it, and it's so. Our Heavenly Father knows our need before we pray. And we can rest assured the answer's on the way. Oh, yes, the answer's on the way. This I know. Jesus said it, I believe it, and it's so. Our Heavenly Father knows our need before we pray. Hallelujah. We can rest assured the answer's on the way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why don't you just slip up a hand and praise Him tonight for hearing you when you pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.